Hello, everyone. I have with me here Kenisha Grayson for Crowdfunding Mastermind. We're really excited to interview her and talk a bit about her experience with crowdfunding and have her kind of shed light on some of the amazing things that she was able to do and just to get her project funded and out there and into the world. So, Kenisha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here with you and your folks.
Great. So can you just start by kind of introducing yourself and tell our students who you are and what it is that you do?
Yes. Hi, I'm Kenisha Grayson. I blog at Kenisha.com, and I wrote a book called Be Your Own Boyfriend, and I ran a Kickstarter campaign with the goal of $10,000 to fund it, and we ran it for, I believe, 31 days and raised $11,771.
Nice. And so I'm sure a lot of people have asked you, why did you actually decide to self-publish your book and raise money via Kickstarter instead of going like the more traditional publishing route?
Yeah, so I actually had some pretty strong connections in the traditional publishing industry. I had written a book proposal for a slightly different book, but a pretty related book, and had even had it reviewed by a pretty prominent agent and got somewhat helpful feedback, and I just realized from even that one experience that I did not necessarily have that much sit there and listen in me to about a book proposal to like 100 different people, try and get an agent to take me on, and then try and get a publisher to take the book on. I knew that because I'm so creative, because I write so quickly, that it was really important to me to get the book out, to get the book out on my terms, and because I did understand the economics of the traditional publishing industry, I knew I wasn't looking at a huge advance. I wasn't like this famous person, you know, writing a tell-all or something like that. So I knew that it was in my best to consider self-publishing. I would have more creative decision-making, it could come out on my time, and with crowdfunding, I'd be able to even raise as much money as I would get in the book advance.
Got it. And so why not just self-publish, like, without Kickstarter? Because I know some people will just throw their books up on, like, Amazon Kindle or whatever. You know, so why did you kind of decide to incorporate crowdfunding? Like, what were the benefits that you saw?
A big splash with the book coming out, and also to condense all of my thinking to a shorter period of time. I didn't want to release my book on Amazon and then friends my book. I figured I can just sort of do this high intensity for a month, ask everyone I've ever known to buy my book, and that's also a great way to get people who don't even know me excited about it versus sort of like a soft, quiet launch where it's just sort of I press publish, it's on Amazon, let me wait for somebody to buy it. So that's really what happened. It was a big splash, overwhelmed Facebook for a day in my network, and well, for the first day that came out, and then the next few days. And then that's actually when I did sell, for sure, the vast majority of the books. And that was also important to me, was that, like, I could at least hit that hump of 200 books. So most self-published books don't sell more than 200 books. And I was like, well, if I can at least sell 200 books, I've have done better than average. And the 200 books, I mean, is 200 books ever. So to sell 200 books in just a month was great.
Wow. And so I'm actually glad that you kind of talked about that, because a lot of people, when they think about using crowdfunding, they automatically think that it's all about the money. And oftentimes, yes, that's a part of it. But I know that even when I was doing the strategy and helping run the Moi Box campaign, I was very clear along with Moi's founder, Lydia Bonilla, that this wasn't just about getting pre-order sales, but this was also about making that splash, like you said, and leveraging kind of the excitement that goes on with a Kickstarter campaign to get press and to get attention and to really kind of launch this project and this brand out into the world. So oftentimes crowdfunding, that's another really useful tool just in terms of spreading awareness beyond just like, we want to raise, you know, X amount of dollars to actually get the project funded. So why actually, because there are a bunch of crowdfunding platforms, why did you specifically choose Kickstarter instead of like an Indiegogo or a GoFundMe or something like that?
I was very purposeful about Kickstarter. I consider Kickstarter to be be the most established one, the hardest one to get a project approved on, and also the most well-known one. And so I wanted to have a big enough project so that once it was successful, I could position to be a subject matter expert on crowdfunding. Even just now, like I'm doing this interview, because one of the more established sites. I also did want to do
Kanisha, I'm not sure if it's just me or not, but you're breaking up just a bit.
Hey, Ariel, I'm back.
Okay. Wow, I hear you a lot clearer now. Okay. So let's do this. Because you were kind of breaking up even as you were giving your other responses, but I was hoping it would kind of just go back in. So can we just start from the top with you introducing yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on. Let me just stop this recording and then start a new one so it's clean. Okay, Kanisha, can you start by introducing yourself? Who are you and what is it you do?
Yes, I'm Kanisha Grayson. I blog at Kanisha.com. I am the author of the book Be Your Own Boyfriend, and I self-published it in February 2013 by running a Kickstarter campaign. The goal was $10,000, and we raised $11,771, and that's me.
Okay, so how long was your campaign for? How many days did you run for?
I ran it for, I believe, 31 or 32 days.
Okay. And so I'm sure a lot of people have asked you, why did you decide to self-publish your book and raise money via Kickstarter instead of going the traditional publishing route?
Yes. So self-publishing for me was a purposeful decision. I actually had some fairly good connections in the publishing industry and had even written a book proposal for a related book that was reviewed by a few agents. And I just realized, even from that short experience of corresponding with some agents, that like I just did not have the patience to wait around for an agent to take me on, and then for an agent to get a publisher to take it on, and then for the publisher and the editors to get it all packaged. It was just like, I want my book to be out. I want it to be high quality. I want it to look like a quote-unquote real book, but I want my book to be out when I want it to be out. So I figured I could possibly use crowdfunding to raise enough money to give me the same amount of money that I might get with a book advance as a first-time author.
That totally makes sense. And so why did you actually decide to self-publish, with Kickstarter versus just going the self-publishing route, throwing the book up on Kindle or Amazon, et cetera? Like, why did you feel like you wanted to involve crowdfunding with your self-publishing process?
It was really important to me to be able to make a big splash with the release of the book. I wanted to be able to tell everyone that I knew in my network, friends, family, colleagues, everybody about the book at one time and really concentrate all my begging into one month. If I released my book quietly, per se, on like Amazon or something, I felt that I would be in the position of begging all my friends and family for the next 2 to 5 years to like, please buy my book. Have you bought my book? Have you read my book? But with using crowdfunding, I was able to turn it into an event, an experience. And so I was able to overwhelm Facebook for a few days in my network and raise a lot of awareness about the book and get lots of people to buy the book all at one time. And so the vast majority of my sales in 2013 for sure came from that big splash in the Kickstarter campaign. And then after that, each month, it's more like a trickle. And of course, there's more of a bump if I do like a live book signing or a live event. But for the most part, that Kickstarter campaign was where I was able to move most of the books. And that was really important to me because I know that the average self-published book only sells 200 copies ever. And so to be able to move something like 200 copies in that month of the Kickstarter meant a lot to me. It meant I was finally over that hump of, you know, the completely unknown self-published author.
I'm so glad that you actually touched upon that, because when I was running the Moi Box campaign, that was one of the things that I discussed with Moi's founder, Lydia Bonilla, because it wasn't just about the money. And I think a lot of people, when they think about crowdfunding, they automatically think, I just want to get my project funded. But the thing when it comes to, you know, crowdfunding and specifically even Kickstarter, just because of the pressure they put on you to either raise the money or lose it, is that it does become that event. It does become that experience, as you just said, for, you know, to rally all your friends and, you know, basically make it like a do or die type of situation. Like, I need your support now. You know, press loved it as well, because it's time sensitive, it's current. So there's just so many ways that you can kind of spread the awareness of what you're doing as you're like launching this project and launching this brand, versus like specifically with a book, you, like you said, just putting it on Amazon, kind of having this quiet thing and then having to beg people for the next, like, you know, 2 to 5 years to actually, you know, support you. So I definitely agree with you on that. And so why did you actually choose Kickstarter to run your first crowdfunding project versus like another crowdfunding platform like Indiegogo or GoFundMe?
Yeah, it was very important to me to do a Kickstarter campaign. I consider Kickstarter to be, you know, the most well-known of the crowdfunding campaigns, the most established. And also I liked that, as you mentioned earlier, that it had that sort of urgency around it. So if I don't raise all the money, I don't get any of the money. And I wasn't really interested in the flex funding option at Indiegogo or things like that. I didn't want to raise part of the money. I wanted to raise all the money that I needed or that I was aiming for. And so another reason was that I wanted to use the most established platform to also establish myself as somewhat of a subject matter expert on crowdfunding. And since, to me, Kickstarter is sort of the holy grail of crowdfunding, being successful in raising $10,000 for a publishing project, that puts me in one of the like top 5% of all publishing projects on Kickstarter. Maybe it's 10%. And so that, you know, positions me to be able to do interviews like this and participate in other kinds of panels or expertise experiences. So yeah, that's why I chose Kickstarter.
Absolutely makes sense, and you know, definitely a lot of opportunities for leverage. And so can you walk us through your preparation process for your Kickstarter campaign, like from the first moment you kind of had the idea all the way to like pressing the launch button, like on the Kickstarter website?
Well, I had a very intense, detailed preparation plan. Honestly, I may have spent more on planning and implementing the Kickstarter than money I made on it, just being honest. I had a part-time assistant. I had a full-time person working for me. I also have another business, so that's, of course, part of why I had these people working for me. But I flew them into Austin, and we had a retreat for 3 days where we literally had a person come in and walk us through. She wasn't a crowdfunding expert. She just was very good at facilitating meetings and retreats. But walk us through, you know, what are my goals with the Kickstarter? What are my goals with releasing this book? And we made a whole plan. And the plan involved various actions, such as reaching out to bloggers, creating what I call a blog tour. So lots of bloggers lined up to write about the Kickstarter every day or every other day of the campaign so that we could reach their audiences. We drafted all the emails beforehand, made a list of, you know, press outlets. It was really a whole plan. I'd say my favorite part of the planning was figuring out the prizes for the different levels. And we got very detailed. We figured out how much each prize level would cost us to make or purchase and put together and send out versus how much money it was bringing in. And so that's how some prizes got eliminated. And then it was a whole, there were spreadsheets, there were tiers. It was a lot of work. And so by the time we pressed, publish on the campaign, there had been many, many hours of planning that had gone into it, and that was only a fraction of the work that was still to be done. Once the campaign started, there was still so much, little ads we were putting on Facebook. I'm not talking about Facebook ads that are in the sidebars. I just mean using Facebook's regular posting functionality.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work. It was a lot of work. And I'm not saying this to scare people away, but just to be transparent about my own experience that, there's some crowdfunding campaigns where they just press publish and then the people just flood in. But we worked really hard for every dollar that came through the door.
And actually, I'm really glad that you're even sharing that perspective, because I think there is this kind of misconception that it really is that easy, like you just said, in terms of people just throwing your campaign up and you're like, hey, like a bunch of people are going to rush in and like fund me. I mean, sometimes that might happen as a fluke, but I think in terms of the norm, the research that we've done, people really do put a lot of work into the strategy. It's not necessarily that you have to hire someone or have a team like you did. And I know that you said that other team was also for another business that you have. So, they were kind of cross-functioning. But, it really does take having a very strategic approach and mapping out what your plan is and, what are the influencers that you can, leverage to help you promote your campaign. Like, there's really a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes. So thank you for shedding some light on that. And so did you really find it hard to like ask your community, your supporters, your fans for like help? Because I know a lot of people struggle with asking for help in general or like worse money. So like, did you struggle with that? And if so, like how did you work through that?
I know a lot of people find it sleazy to ask their friends and family for money or to support them. I'm just not one of those people. So it was actually not, I felt very fine asking people for money on Facebook, via email. What I did not expect is getting old school and getting on the phone. So I made at least 30 calls,
wow,
phone calls to people to be like, hey, I noticed you haven't given yet. I would, I'm sure you plan on it, but I would love if you could buy it today. So we had daily goals and weekly goals for how much we wanted to raise. And I felt like if we could just stay on track with the daily and the weekly goals, we would meet our goal. And that's how we did. I mean, we inched along. There was a big burst of money at the beginning, but then there was, sort of a lull in the middle. It wasn't that it was hard for me to ask for money. It was just that I started to have to ask for money in unexpected ways, like just literally calling people on the phone. And I thought, well, this is social media. I don't need to use old school stuff like the phone. But, if it came down to writing postcards, I was going to do it.
And that's like sometimes necessary, like you said. Thankfully I didn't have to do phone calls, so I actually give you props for that. But we did have to do some personalized emails, like to remind people and to really make it like very intentional, like, hey, we noticed that you specifically have not given yet, or you specifically have not posted yet about the campaign and you said that you would. Because sometimes you really do have to remind people, because they might think like, oh, they already have it together and they don't really need my post. They don't really need my contribution. And it's like, no, like really we do. And we need it kind of in a timely fashion as well. So that's really interesting too. You talked about kind of some Facebook posts, et cetera. So like what kind of media did you use to kind of promote your campaign or project? Like videos? Did you do just graphics, photography?
We relied heavily on graphic design. My full-time person was also a graphic designer. So we made lots of really pretty, what I call email flyers. So just full HTML graphic emails that I would send out to my mailing list, that I would give to other bloggers to send out to their mailing list. And then also just these gorgeous, beautiful graphics of the book cover, of me smiling, of us celebrating. Almost every person who donated that I was Facebook friends with would get like a graphic thank you for donating image. And that's not to say that everyone has to do all that fancy stuff. It was just that we were using what we had. So I wasn't getting any press. I wasn't getting any coverage from, like, you know, the media or anything like that. So I was like, I've got to make this seem glamorous and exciting. And what I had was a great graphic designer. So we were able to make these gorgeous, sparkly images that would catch people's attention on Facebook, that once someone opened up their email, they're like, ooh, what is this? And I would say that was for sure the biggest thing that we relied on was using just gorgeous graphics and a lot of them and a lot of different ones to catch people's attention on Facebook.
So interesting that you just said that you didn't really receive any like major press or anything like that. So would you say that your community really or your existing audience or friends of friends are really what propelled this campaign?
For sure. I would say that to my surprise, it was my Facebook friends. It wasn't even, you know, I had a mailing list of about 2,000 people. And I of course, made sales through the mailing list, but for sure, most of the sales came through family and friends on Facebook. And when I say friends, I mean Facebook friends. So these may have been people I hadn't seen in 10 years, but they were buying my book and they were spreading the word about my book. And that was a wonderful lesson in the generosity of people as well as the usefulness of loose ties when funding a campaign. Some press that I did get, just to acknowledge it, is, and it matters, is a loose tie, a loose connection at Black Enterprise wrote an online article about the campaign while it was happening. I didn't even ask him to, and he did. So I really appreciated that. And then a full over a year after the campaign ended, my book was featured in the March 2014 issue of Essence, the collector's edition with Oprah on the cover.
Okay.
Did a full quarter page on Be Your Own Boyfriend, and that was awesome. But so that's just to say that, like, when you do the campaign, all the action is not just during that month. There's a lot of sort of follow-on effects and sales and press that may happen even actually after your campaign.
That makes sense. And so if you have to pick like one thing that you might have done differently during during the campaign or in preparation for the campaign, what would that be?
Great question. I would just have made sure that I was not overpromising. I started to lose my confidence a week or so into the campaign. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send out 100 copies of my book to women's centers at colleges and women's shelters. And I thought, well, that's going to make people want to give. And I think it did make some people want to give. But when I said that, I committed myself to a very expensive project. That was probably about $1,700 of the $10,000 now committed to this sort of sending these books out to Women's Center. And we followed through. We sent out all 100 books to different colleges and women's shelters and things like that. But you know what? I have not received one email, one thank you note.
Mm.
Who knows? You know, I haven't received an email from a student being like, I saw your book at my college. For all I know, they ended up in the trash can. So I would be very careful when doing the campaign to make sure that you don't overpromise things just to get people to donate. Make sure that you are costing out what is it going to cost me for this, you know, prize or this promise that I'm making.
Great advice, particularly like you said, with making promises and even in terms of like rewards. Because you mentioned, you know, earlier in the interview that you really like did a cost analysis of how much is this like specific reward going to cost, you know, before we actually, you know, list it. So that pricing is so important, and also just making sure you don't overpromise. So great advice. And so what another question for you, like kind of going in or even maybe during as well, what was like your top fear during your campaign or before your campaign?
I mean, I imagine everyone's top fear is that we won't raise the money and then I'll have this forever failed campaign living forever on the internet. That was my biggest fear, is that it wouldn't get funded. And that I would then be so resentful and disappointed and devastated that I would just sort of never write again or something like that. Dramatic, but that's really, I was so invested in it. And I've had people, friends who I would consider even sort of famous people, tell me, you know, that was very brave of you to do a crowdfunding campaign, because even as famous as I am, I wouldn't do it, because if it failed, I would lose too much faith. And that helped me realize how big of a deal and how courageous people who decide to crowdfund, whether they're crowdfunding $2,500 or $25,000, is you're putting yourself out there. You're saying, I created this. I hope you like it. you know, please partake of it, or I'm about to create this thing, and asking people to invest in you. So it's not a small thing, and anyone who is successful, or even anyone who embarks on the endeavor, should be proud of themselves.
And so, like, those moments, because you talked also about kind of, like, the flow of the campaign, right? So, like, in the beginning of the campaign, like, you know, there was kind of a bunch of money that was pledged, and then you kind of go through this lull. And a lot of people experience this when they're going through their campaigns, and then it kind of shoots back up at the end. So, like, during that lull, like, how did you, prevent yourself from, like, going crazy or, like, pulling your hair out? Because, like, you know, obviously things weren't moving as fast as they were, you know, when the campaign first started.
I was going crazy. So, I mean, I didn't do anything. That's probably the point when I made that commitment to sending out the 100 books. So, you know, watch out, cautionary tale, watch out for those good ideas that you think are good ideas, and, you know, calmly evaluate them with other people.
Yeah.
I would say that was the time when I also decided, here's where I can do some slower, lower impact stuff that, you know, maybe it's not some huge Twitter campaign, but I can just sit down and call 4 people today.
Yeah.
Or I can sit with my team on a conference call and we can brainstorm. And I do want to emphasize, you don't need a full team, but you definitely need some supporters, some sort of cheerleaders who you can, like, cry to or high five with. I would not recommend doing a crowdfunding outside of a community. So whether it's your fellow crowdfunding mastermind participants or something, you need to have a crew around you that can support you, especially during those lulls. So I would just say I just kept going during those lulls, and realizing that, like, it was probably a natural part of the process is that people just are like, oh yeah, I'll do it soon or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you actually touched on that community aspect, because it really is important to have, like, a community of people who are not just supporting you, like, externally in the campaign, but also, like, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Part of the reason why Evita and I decided to even create this course was because I remember how that felt. Like, I mean, obviously, it was Lydia and I who were a team, and then, you know, some of the other people that worked for her as well. But, you know, and Evita has her own team as well that works with Nomadness, but there are so many people who launch these crowdfunding campaigns and really don't have that communal support to be like, breathe, or like, think this idea through, or don't make that decision. And that's, like, so important, just to make sure that you stay level-headed and that you really get through your campaign and you can ask the questions and get the support that you need to actually make it successful and not do anything crazy in the process. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, great advice as well. Just final words of advice that you'd give people, you know, launching a Kickstarter campaign or just a crowdfunding campaign in general?
Yes, I would say never launch a crowdfunding campaign out of desperation or to, like, pay your rent or something like that. Say, like, oh, I'm writing a book of poetry, but it's really going to pay my rent or something like that. You really want to launch for the right reasons. And to me, the right reasons are to fund a project that is almost already finished or is completed. The worst thing in the world is to get the money raised and realize you didn't have enough money. And I'd say another reason is to raise awareness for something, you know, project that you're working on. But yeah, and also to not give up on your campaign until it's over. I purposely made my campaign only, you know, about a month long, because I know other people might make their 60 days long, but I personally did not want to be under that much stress and intensity for 2 months. Mm-hmm. But if your campaign is 45 days, stay active the full 45 days. Don't give up on your campaign just because things get slow. Because you put a lot of hard work into your project as well as into your campaign, and you should see it through.
Great advice. And thank you so much, Kenesha, for agreeing to be interviewed for Crowdfunding Mastermind. Can you just tell our students where they can find you online, your website, you know, social media, whatever you want to plug?
Of course. They can find me at Twitter at AskKenesha, KaneiSha, AskKenesha. They can read about my personal musings on life at Kenesha.com. And then if they want to get into grad school, I can help them with that at TheArtOfApplying.com. And this was super fun.
Awesome. And definitely everyone check out all of Kenesha's work. She's absolutely amazing. Her book, Be Your Own Boyfriend, is hilarious and just so funny and has great advice in it as well. So make sure you check that out as well as her other websites. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Ariel.